It's time for the Apple Watchcast. We've had a few weeks with our new watches. We'll share what we like. And there's an Ultra Watch teardown, durability testing, and some screen and microphone issues. Also, it turns out the Apple Watch Ultra GPS is super accurate for lawn mowing. Who knew? Plus reviews of Apple's Alpine and Ocean bands and Now Playing Plus app. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 426, recorded Sunday, October 9th, 2022. You missed a spot.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning, yes. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
And welcome to October. Burr.
Yes. But this morning here in Houston area, sat outside on the deck there and had a cup of coffee. No humidity, which is so rare down here. And a beautiful 70 degrees. It was like California weather.
Oh, beautiful.
This is the best time to visit Houston.
It is. You better get here quick because it's going to change.
Mm-hmm. 37 this morning in Tennessee.
Oh, my goodness. Tennessee. So you weren't sitting
outside. Very nice, though.
You weren't sitting outside, were you?
Sure. All
right. Real quick, speaking of the weather, I just want to give a quick shout out to my brother-in-law, Kyle, in Florida, who I know listens to the show sometimes. So if you're listening, Kyle, I'm glad you all made it through the hurricane. Okay. I was pretty worried for a while there. It looked like y'all might get a direct hit, but I'm glad you're all right. And everybody's fine. So
fantastic. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. News. That was quite a thing to see with the hurricane. Good. So we've had a little time here with the new events. You have the Series 8 and me and Chris have the Ultra. And watchOS 9, which has also been out. So how are you feeling about the state of Apple Watch these days?
For me, it's been incremental.
It's a buy.
Yeah.
It's a buy.
If it's a stock, it's a buy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely. It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, between the Ultra Watch, all the new features of the Ultra, the new bands, watchOS 9. I feel like I have an entirely new version of the Apple Watch. Everything feels new. It's sort of like when the watch first came out. Everything was new. And this, is as close to that as we've had since 2015. So pretty exciting. I think all the hype ahead of all of this, that somebody said this was going to be the biggest, you know, Apple Watch release year since the beginning, I think they're right. Now that you look at the totality of it, I think they're right. For me, the battery life on the Ultra has been fantastic. I've been trying to do little test kind of things, which has kind of really messed my schedule with when I charge and when I don't charge. I'll get it figured out. But I charged it to 100% before bed one time. I wore it all night, all the next day, all the next night, all the next day, and then one more night after that before it needed to be charged. So that's 2 days and 3 nights of continuous use. And I think overnight it may use 5 to 6% of battery. And I swear one day I charged it before bed, wore it all night, and woke up with 99%. I don't know if that's possible, but it's fantastic.
In sleep mode, right?
Put it in sleep mode. But still, my other watch, I had to wear with the Series 7. I would wear it during the day, and I'd wear my old Series 6 at night. I would just switch the watches. One would charge, one I'd wear. And that way, I never really ran out of battery, right? But on this one, like the other day, again, right before bed, I noticed it was at 56%, which with my Series 7 would have meant I would have needed to charge that before I went to bed. So I didn't charge it. I wore it all night. And the next day, I went for a 3-mile run with streaming cellular music and GPS. And at the end of the day, it was at 18%. I mean, and that's me not, that's me using it full out. I'm not trying to conserve battery on anything or at any time. So it's, I think I can probably get into a rhythm of charging it every other day.
Probably go, well, that's good, Tom.
Yeah, probably go 2 days. I mean, what do you think, Chris?
Well, I just have a habit of doing it every night. I did skip one night just to test it out. And like you, after 2 days and one night, I was still 30 some percent or high 30s. So it was fantastic. The only thing I learned is you have to, you kind of have to set it with the activity button down because, you know, it doesn't sit on the charger I have very well because it's vertical, that dual charger with the phone and the, so if you put it with the buttons down, the digital crown and the side button down, it doesn't charge for, it doesn't link to the charger. So that's the only thing I learned, but agree. Battery life is great. I didn't know if I'd like the flat screen, Tom, but I really like the flat screen. And when I talk about what I like this week around the bands and everything, I know releasing the Nike faces have kind of, you know, given a whole new feel to it as well. So there's a lot of nice new feel to it.
Right. And speaking of chargers, I have the MagSafe, the Duo charger from Apple, the little portable flat one that opens
up. That's what I have. Yeah.
It charges on that one fine. I'd initially heard that it might not fit, but
it fits.
Yeah, it fits fine.
Just make sure you have the activity button down versus the digital crown side down because it pops up a little bit.
Sure.
That one night I threw it on there, not even thinking, and it didn't charge. In the old my old world, I'd be like, "Oh crap!" Now it's like, "Oh, no big deal."
Yeah, and I also noticed you can angle that puck, the charging puck. If you angle it back a little bit, it fits on there really nice. So. Anyway, it's been great. The only thing I did notice, that wonderful, I think it was from Belkin, the charger I have does my phone, the watch, and the AirPods all at once. And it's like a hanging one. You know, you set it on there, and it's kind of facing you. The only drawback to that one is it doesn't charge as fast because it was before the fast charging for the, I think from the Series 7 started that, right? The faster charging on the watch. It was a 6 or 7. I don't remember which version. Anyway, it takes longer to charge on that particular charger, which I'm going to have to look and see if they have an updated version of it.
I think it's a 15 watt. Yeah. On the MagSafe phone.
Yeah, it's just a little less.
I believe it's on sale at Costco right now, if you're a Costco member.
Really?
Yeah.
I am not. Unfortunately. So Vincent, what about you? How's the battery life been in your Series 8?
It's been well. I mean, it's working as expected. And I've had a couple of times where, like Chris, accidentally left it, you know, hanging off the charger. Wake up the next day, it's got like maybe 20% left. I can make it through most of the day without necessarily anything strenuous.
Right.
But yeah, I still have battery anxiety. I'll do the natural, you know, make sure I know where my watch is, charge it at night,
right?
That kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, beyond that, it's like you were saying, Tom. I mean, the lineup of Apple Watches is now kind of filling every kind of market group that needs it for that particular purpose, and it's good to see. With Apple finally getting there, you know, it's just right. The SE, just for the kind of the new users, and you have the ones you can activate for kids, and then you have, you know, your ultras, you know, you need it for that endurance.
Very fair point.
Yeah, I think it is pretty exciting to see, and this I think is, you know, we talked about the original Apple Watch when it came out. Apple didn't know what it was. Okay.
Right.
They were trying everything, right? They had the fitness thing in there, but they also had all these other things. Mm-hmm. You know, remember sending your heartbeat to someone, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they had all kinds of little things in there. and it turned out that it wasn't a luxury item. And that's kind of what they were promoting it as to some degree with the gold watch and all that. It fitness became the thing that people really latched onto about the watch. And I think the Ultra is Apple's, you know, kind of took them a while, but it's their response to that completely embracing that idea. What would you do? Okay. It is a fitness thing now. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now what can we do with that? And that's what I think we're starting to see with the Ultra. I think all the other versions of the watch were simply like iterations of that. They really couldn't embrace it until they changed the form factor. Right. And they were very hesitant to do that.
I think the timing on this has been great for Apple. I mean, look at this. I mean, we've been concerned about our health as a planet for the last few years.
We
want to measure. And then right now, right when COVID's a little bit over, what's everybody doing? Everyone's getting out. It's about getting out there.
And from what we heard, the Ultra was what, 3-4 years into production. So.
Right.
This is them, I guess, responding pretty quickly to that whole idea, you know?
Yeah,
I think so.
It's hard to imagine that, 7 years old, but anyway, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I say that one story we have that will probably touch all the testing they did. I mean, that took a long time. So I thought that
yes.
like this had to be years
in
play and it kept quiet. Although, you know, some of those rumors came out maybe last September that you know, there's going to be a more rugged version and we talked about it, but for the most part, they kept it secret.
Yeah, they did. Not too much. You know, there was for almost a year, we had the thought that there was going to be an Explorer version of the watch, right? This type of watch. Nobody knew what the name would be. Everybody thought it was going to be Pro. I don't think anybody had Ultra on their mind. Good deal.
Now, Tom, one thing I had to get used to, though, is when you launch the activity button on the side, I you know, with the thumb on the side and the fingers on the right side, I was taking pictures of my screen every time.
That's what I do with my phone all the time.
I do that too. You're like, what's that picture doing on my phone? Or what's that? You know, I took it from my watch, you know? So a couple little nuances and quirkiness of manipulating things. But overall, man, I give it, you know, 2 thumbs up, 3 thumbs up, whatever you call it.
One wrist up. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. One wrist up.
Okay. I'm going to ask you guys to kind of, bear with me here for a minute. We're going to get into the news in just a second, but I have a quick rant that I want to.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now a little warning that I may send this episode into an explicit category because of language coming up. Okay.
You're going to cuss?
I might. I get very worked up about this. So.
All right. I've done it a couple times on this show. I think I'm the only one. So you can join the club.
Okay. So you've been warned.
All right.
Now I have a pair of those, the Power Beats Pro earbuds, right? That I use for running, which I love them. I've had them for a while. And earlier this year, the left one quit working completely. So there was it wouldn't charge. I reset it, nothing. It just won't work. So I've been traveling a lot lately. So I finally got around to setting up a Genius Bar appointment, right, at my local Apple store. The store I worked at like 15 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long. So I know this store very well. Anyway, I also wanted to get a few new bands, right? I love the new Sports Loop colors. I wanted to get some of those. But I thought, hey, I'm here. Why wait for shipping? If they have them, I'll just pick them up after the appointment, right? Pretty simple. So I get there about 15 to 20 minutes early from my appointment because there was almost no traffic. I made every light, that kind of thing, you know?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Got there early. And so I walk into the store and the Apple associate who's checking me in says she can't check me in until 5 minutes before my appointment. I thought, okay.
Well, how funny.
Okay. Yeah. Seems like a strange procedure, but that's fine. I'll just browse the stuff for a bit. Mm-hmm. Right. So I look for the bands and I find them on a shelf in the back where they always are. But there's no stock. There's only a single display box for the bands.
Hmm. Really? Like,
what? I can't just walk in and buy one without some sort of assistance anymore. So I thought, So I walked around the store, and now I'm really starting to notice things that are very similar. There isn't much stock of anything in this store. Display boxes only, a very strange vibe to everything. It seems like the store is kind of run down in some way. So I wander around. I wander out to the front of the store, back into the mall. And on either side of the open glass doors where they usually have the most incredible merchandising displays for anything new, there's nothing. There is only a cheesy looking metal stanchion sign holder. You know what I'm talking about? A single one on each side with a poster in it mentioning the trade-in amounts for your iPhone with the carriers. There's no great marketing headline, just matter-of-fact, boring facts, which is why I didn't even notice them when I walked in. I went right by them. They look like something that someone took literally from a Verizon or AT&T store. Not Apple at all. Wow. So I'm like, this is weird. Anyway, so it was time to check in. I did. She sent me to the back at the Genius Bar. I mentioned to the guy my appointment time and name. He told me to take a seat at the table to the left. I sat down. There were four other people waiting there. And I thought, oh, this is not good. Because I got like the first appointment of the day, right?
Yeah.
There's only one or two Genius people visible. And all these people having appointments. Well, about 10 minutes later, someone finally comes to help me. And lo and behold, Apple does not repair or even examine Beats products in their stores.
Oh, wow.
They have to send them off to be inspected and replaced. So
you had no idea. Signed up for that.
Yeah.
Did they ask you what product you were going
to
talk
about? Oh, yeah. I had. Right. I mentioned all that up front before I even made the appointment. So anyway, I agreed to have them send it off. And I understood that if they had to replace the earbud, it would be $99, which is just what I thought it would be, right? So I try to pay, who sets it up, I try to pay with my Apple card on my watch, right? Double click the button, put it up to his little thing. It doesn't go through.
Oh, wow.
So we try it again and it doesn't work. And he apologized. He says, well, maybe use the physical card with the chip. So I pull out my Apple card. It doesn't work. So he has to get the manager's approval to manually enter the card numbers. And it finally worked. So Apple Pay was not working at the Apple store. That sounds like an Onion headline, right? Apple Pay doesn't work at Apple store. So now I'm done. And I go to the band table to see if anyone there can help me buy some bands because I can't just pick them up. And there's nobody there. There's no Apple employees. There's lots of Apple associates, but no one to help you with the bands. And I realize there's three other people looking at bands around this table. And they all probably need to be fitted, you know, whatever, have all these questions about the bands before they get to me. I figure this is going to be an hour. So I walked out, disgusted, disappointed, and depressed about the state of Apple retail these days. There was no magic at all, no sense of, wow, this is where it's at, where all the cool things are. It's just a retail store where they're there to take your money. Oh, one other thing. While I was waiting, I overheard an Apple creative person giving a session, and it was hard not to hear. He was practically yelling. There were four people across from him, probably in their 50s and 60s, you know, my age, maybe a little bit older. And he was talking to them like you talk to a five-year-old who doesn't understand something. Very condescending, very, very forceful and off-putting. And he was trying to explain how iCloud works. And I'm listening to him. He says, files are on your devices and in the cloud, but not in the cloud. And if you delete a file from your phone, it goes away everywhere, including the cloud. But iPhoto works in a different way. I'm like, oh, my God, I was getting confused and couldn't follow it. And the people were just like slowly nodding their head every now and then. But I could see it in their faces. They're not getting it at all. And they would forget this entire session the moment they walked out of the store.
I assume folks that are sitting there just waiting for their, you know, their loved ones.
This was an actual training session. So
goodness.
He wasn't teaching. He was preaching. And I used to have that job. That's what I used to do at the Apple store, and he sucked at it. So all I could think of is, what would Steve Jobs say about this if he had ever overheard this conversation? Number one, that employee would have been fucking fired immediately. The iCloud team back in Cupertino would be reprimanded for making the whole thing so fucking difficult to understand. If you couldn't explain it in 5 minutes, it was too complicated. You know, the whole thing from below standard merchandising, the displays of the product, the customer service, the training session, all of it left me depressed about Apple retail, but also about that store that had kind of, it's fallen down. So
yeah, a lot of the kind of suburban Apple stores are just not, there's not a lot of attention there.
One had never been that way for 15 years. It was didn't matter when I walked in. It was always a really cool place to go. And then there was somebody there who worked there before I started. He opened the store. He'd been there for almost 20 years. He's no longer there.
No.
He transferred to another location, and I wonder why. So I'm sure there's a ton, you know, other stores are really great, but this one, anyway, here's the kicker.
Too bad.
I made them come to me. I went home, ordered the same bands, and made them courier them to my house a few hours later. Now, I would have paid the $9 courier fee at the store to get someone to help me at the time, but it was a complete waste of time. I could have just sent in my Power Beats as well. I didn't have to leave the house, I guess. And that's what I get for wanting to go out and interact with people. It was a terrible customer experience. Anyway, sorry for the long rant.
It's too bad.
It just frustrates me to no end that something like that is going on.
Wow. It's unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, the store we have here, I just order stuff, walk in, get it, and walk out. I've never, in all the years I've interacted with Apple there, I've never really went and bought something at the store. I've just picked up. But I did wander over to the bands, and we had a lot of inventory out in the floor, Tom. I was kind of surprised this time. I was like, oh, there's more inventory out there than there's been in the past.
Right.
Then I walked out because I was already done. But I kind of noticed that I don't know if the level of talent isn't the same. The level of excitement of the employee isn't the same.
Right.
Or something has just changed. But there's definitely a different vibe when you walk in.
It was. Yeah. And the other thing on top of all of it, and maybe this is what freaked me out the most too, two police officers out front of the store, like guarding the place the whole time. So I'm wondering, is removing all the stock because of theft?
Could be.
Which is unfortunate, you know.
Same in our store. It's a private security firm, right? There's two people out front that I could easily outrun, by the way. I could out-hop them, probably.
I think these guys were armed.
Not ours.
I think these were off-duty police or something. You know, they weren't...
Serious about it.
I don't think there were Paul Blart, the mall cop. So, anyway, I don't know. I was depressed after all that.
It's one of those things I do dread. If I have to make an appointment, something's drastically wrong.
Really? Okay.
And you're like, oh man, I got to show up. And I've done that before where we had the Series 3 kind of, the battery expand on us. We go there, we show up, and, you know, we show up at our exact time, and then we're still sitting there waiting for like half an hour.
Wow.
It's just like, that's kind of frustrating.
Which location are you going to?
This is the Highland Mall.
Highland Village?
Yeah, Highland Village, yeah.
The big glass.
Primary one, yeah.
Cube, okay.
Yeah, and we're like, whoa. And at the end of the day, you're like, well, I'll just have to buy a new one.
Yeah. You know, I think that's where my friend from this store went. I think he went to that one.
Yeah.
That's the one we went and tried on the gold Apple Watch, right?
Yeah, that's the flagship. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, well. Sorry, everybody. I didn't mean to bring the show
that
down.
Work. That needs work for sure. I mean, it's Tom, like,
Oh,
sorry, Vincent. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, after like a couple of years of us not going out to the stores and stuff, it's just, it is definitely, like you said, Chris, I mean, the talent is not quite there. It hasn't returned to full force.
And maybe I learned my lesson. Maybe I need to order it and just use the store as a pickup point rather than.
That's what I do.
But which is kind of sad that you can't like browse and discover in the store anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious whether or not the folks that deliver are the same folks that are reporting to retail.
No.
That's a whole nother, that's head by another whole VP.
Right? I think they hire a courier service. I don't think they work for Apple at all.
Yeah. I did it once and they just drove up in a car that, you know, wasn't Apple employee.
Right.
Okay.
But I was going to say, Tom, I'm watching a show called Welcome to Wrexham. It's on, I think, Hulu. And it's about Ryan Reynolds and what's the other guy's name? I forget his name now. On Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They buy this soccer team in Wales. And every time they put the coach on the screen, there's a count of his F-bombs. It's like ding, ding, ding. So you got two.
I got two. I did.
You got two. In like a 30-second tirade, I think the coach had 18. So you're not quite to the
not
coach
there
of
yet.
Wrexham. Those are the first two on Apple Watchcast, I think.
Okay, I was trying to be nice, but I couldn't. When I got to the whole thing of teaching the training session, it was all I could do not to just lean into that table and stare at the guy. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Anyway. Speaking of shows, and I apologize, we will get to the news here in a minute. Did you watch the greatest beer run ever?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. It's number one on my list, but I haven't gotten to it yet. You know, I had a really, 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 really busy week, and that's like a 2-hour movie, and I just want to sit down and relax. It was one of the most enjoyable books I've read in the last 6 months. I really enjoyed it, so I'm sure I'll enjoy the movie.
Okay, so we'll talk about it maybe next show or another time.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
The what, Vincent?
I'm still making my way through the Lord of the Dragon Rings.
I'm Lord of the Dragon Rings.
it's all intermingled now.
I'm sorry. I really like the new what is it? It's the Rings of Power, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The prequel. There's no rings yet. I'm 6 episodes in. Where are the rings?
That's the same thing my wife said yesterday.
Where are the rings? It's in the title. Come on.
Yeah.
That'll be season 4, episode 8. I watched like the first half hour of the first one, and I said, I can't deal with this. And I set it aside. I may go back to it, but it just wasn't clicking with me at all.
The production value of the Rings of Power are on the level of a movie.
Yeah.
It is absolutely incredible. You can see the difference. Now, Game of Thrones, on the other hand, I'm tired of having to play catch up every time I turn on an episode. They time jump every single episode, and I'm trying to figure out
it moves fast.
Who's who and what happened, and we got another time jump tonight, I think, for another one. But anyway.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
What's our podcast about?
I have no idea. I am so lost right now. Okay, I bet if I go to the news, that'll help.
Let's do that.
There is some news. All right, let's start with, again, the Apple Watch Ultra, and we talk about how durable this watch is. Well, the reason I marked this article is because I wasn't sure what this testing meant, but apparently Apple has the Apple Watch Ultra, I can't even speak anymore, has reached a standard that is called MIL-STD-810H. So that was my biggest question. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Well, this is a standardization set of tests by the United States Army with the objective of verifying a piece of equipment is prepared for withstanding the harsh environmental or impact conditions that can surround a soldier. So this, as they put it, you have to think about the conditions that can exist anywhere on the planet, not just in areas where there's more population or different friendly types of climates, right? Mm-hmm. And that would mean subjecting the device to very low pressures for missions at high altitudes or sudden variations in temperature with a large difference in heat or cold. So the Ultra has been tested for moisture, fungus, salt spray, transportation, shocks, vibration from gunshots and other causes, and of course, exposure to high speed sand and dust if you're caught in a storm. In other words, you can now go to the desert, Greenland or several meters underwater. So it's certified by the military to hold up to all of that. And then this article ends by saying it's probably the toughest Apple product ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Do you think they went in wanting to get this certification and said, okay, here's what we have to do? Or do you think they just made the best one they could and then hoped it would get certified?
I'm thinking the former.
Okay.
I came in knowing like, mm-hmm. hey, we got, this is the standard. Let's work to that standard. And,
okay.
And, yeah. And then, you know, see how far we can get.
Yeah, because that's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know much about Garmin, but do their devices hold up to this level?
I don't think so.
I'm going to guess no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, there was another test done. I sent you guys a screenshot of it. It was a gentleman named Marvin Harrison Jr., who plays wide receiver in college, was wearing his Apple Watch during the game.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it did, you know, and he was tackled many times, caught the ball many times.
Yes.
Scored many touchdowns, and his Apple Watch kept working. Now, he got in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, but, I was going to say, you know, that. Now, that was a college game, right?
It was a college game, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But still, I didn't think you're allowed to wear them in that. But
You're not.
Okay, he got away with it.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of durability, I think we mentioned this last episode, Vincent, about the guy who took the hammer to the watch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that breaks my heart to watch it, but he took a hammer to the Apple Watch Ultra, and eventually the table underneath was breaking before the front of that watch was breaking.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That's a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a sledge. It wasn't like a regular ball peen hammer. This was a sledgehammer, right. And apparently before the display even broke, the watch stopped working. So there was some sort of internal damage happened first.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they did a bunch of drop tests with it, you know, throwing it around and all that. But then, okay, this is one I don't think we've mentioned. Someone did a separate test, another person on YouTube, testing the Depth app and underwater performance. So they were using a dive chamber that simulates the experience of diving. Mm-hmm. To withstand the pressure, they put the watch in there with the depth gauge on so they could measure real-time measurement of underwater depth pressure down to 40 meters along with the temperature readings. The Depth app shows you your real-time data as you descend. The video shows what happens when you go deeper than 40 meters. The app shows a warning that you won't see any data until you return to 40 meters or above. So it just stops giving you that information at that point. But it survived. It survived all of it. So very interesting.
Wow. This military standard is no joke.
No,
like, I downloaded the entire PDF and I'm like, there are parts in here where it has I'm just looking at the addenda there, where it shows you the extreme temperatures and rainfall and everything else in different parts of the world.
Okay.
And, you know, and then like recorded history. I mean, there's one part in Indonesia that's rained 322 days out of the year. And they know this. It was like 1912 or something. Like, that's all recorded so that like you can go and get it tested there if you need to. I'm like, that's, my goodness.
Yeah.
Hail. You can do with hail.
Hail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The military doesn't mess around when it comes to that sort of thing. They have their procedures and all of that, don't they? They have it all worked out. It will be interesting to see if the Apple Watch Ultra shows up in any sort of military way, you know,
application.
You never know. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure they have their own version of stuff, but
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I mean, including that on the Wayfinder watch face, you now have that night mode, you know, of turning it turn the crown and it all goes red,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that feels very much like a military type of feature as mm-hmm. well. So do I need to change the opening of the show instead of saying it's the number one and most durable watch in the world? Is that something I should put in?
Yeah, you may want to. Yeah.
Apple's most durable.
Military tested.
Most durable product ever. Okay. And speaking of the Ultra and all this, how tough it is, well, it can't stand up to a teardown. And that's what happened with iFixit.
They can't handle iFixit. There you go.
Oh, they tore it down. Did you watch a video of this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This guy seemed a little, it didn't seem very professional. I don't know. they broke the screen trying to take off the front. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem to really take much care with that whatsoever. Mm. And this is iFixit. They're used to this kind of stuff, right? Anyway, they opened it up because it's got the four pentalobe screws on the back, which is just like in your MacBook. But the battery is not there. Normally, when you open up the back of an Apple Watch, that's where the battery is usually right under the screen, though, isn't it? Yeah. So if you open it from the back, you're not going to access that battery. You're going to remove a bunch of stuff first. Or you remove the glass on the front of the Ultra, and that's where you can get to the battery.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because it was flat and a lot harder to wedge it up, they cracked the screen doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, aren't you guys supposed to be professionals? Aren't you supposed to be able to do this without destroying that? Anyway, I mean, I could have done that. What he did, I could have done, right?
Yeah, easily.
I mean, I'm here. I've got a bunch of stuff in the garage. I could do that. Anyway, they took it apart. The battery is just huge. They put it side by side with the...
eight, yeah.
And it was like double the size, mm-hmm. almost. Mm-hmm. It's huge.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Huge. And the speaker, too. Speaker system's almost twice as big.
Twice as large, yeah.
And he didn't seem... Okay, there's the other thing I didn't like about this. He played the siren at first, and he wasn't impressed with how loud it was. But he didn't let it continue. It gets louder the longer it's on. Have you noticed
that? Have you done the siren, Tom?
Yeah. Have you?
Yeah, I haven't. No, I haven't. I keep forgetting. I should just go ahead and do it. Give me a second. Let me do it right now.
Okay. It's gonna be, no. But what it does is it gets louder as it goes. And he turned it off. He didn't give it enough time. So that's not very impressive. Like, oh, let it go. I think you'll be impressed with the level there. Mm. Anyway, they took it apart. Kind of interesting. I'll put a link in the show notes so people can see the teardown here. Kind of interesting the way they packed everything in this watch, though.
It is. It's quite amazing. I was going to say the last thing we talked about. My first job out of college was for a military contractor, and we built circuit boards for radar. And I remember, you know, the size of the circuit boards and programming machines and first generation CNC and all this stuff. And I'm looking at these components going, holy cow, these are so much more complex. And we were put into military devices in the 80s, you know, I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm looking through the comments here from this article, and everybody agrees that this was not a very professional teardown at all.
Well, I think they're having the same, iFixit's having the same talent issue as Apple stores.
They might be, they actually might be. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes. Everybody can see it for themselves. What I thought was actually the most interesting thing on this was when he got everything taken out, the case itself, just the case, the detail in that thing, to have that machined, I would love to see how that's done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite spectacular. Anyway,
I mean, it's a beautiful device. I mean, how that thing is constructed and put together and fits on your wrist, it's unbelievable.
Yes. Like I said, 3-4 years in the making. Okay, moving on. Apple investigating Apple Watch Series 8 and the Ultra microphone issues. Have either of you discovered this with your watch?
I have not.
I have not either.
None.
Yeah. None.
So apparently there's some microphone issues, including when trying to use Siri to make a phone call and other things, that it will actually throw up an error, the app, and stop working entirely, telling you that it will not work because the microphone is not working. And a lot of people say if you just restart the watch, it's then cleared. And then Apple has said that they will, it will keep checking for the latest watchOS version. Apparently a fix is coming soon. We just got an update, by the way, for the watch. Did that include this fix? I think it did. Because right now, let me see here. If I go to software update version 9.0.1, yes, audio. One of the things it fixes is audio could be distorted during phone calls using speakers. So apparently they did do a fix. It looks like they did a fix for it. Let's see if that's actually what that fix is.
Yeah, there's a 0.1 out already.
There's a 9.0.1. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I do not have that.
You have to have that. Did you update the phone first?
No.
Okay. You gotta get the phone updated to its latest version.
What are we on? Is there a 0.01 on the phone?
Let's see. The phone is currently...
I've got a 16.02 on the phone right now, saying download and install.
Yeah, that's what I just updated at 16.0.2, and now I have an update for the watch. So you got to have that update first. Oh. Yeah.
Mine's updated, but it's not there. That's weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well,
I'm going to go to the watch app and see whether or not there's anything there. But on the phone, on the watch itself, it says there's no update available.
On the phone, you might have it, though.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. All right.
So anyway, you can update. Just always keep things up to date. It's always a good thing. But I did not notice any issues with the microphone myself.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Nothing. Now, here's another issue. Jelly scrolling. It's not as delicious as it sounds. But some Apple Watch Ultra users have noticed this, and I'm like, okay, let me see what this is. And apparently what happens is it is when half of the display is refreshing noticeably slower than the other, which results in a wobble effect when content is moving too quickly. You might see it when you're scrolling through a list or quickly scrolling down a web page in Safari, that sort of thing. Now, this happened, this jelly scrolling thing happened about a year ago with the iPad Mini 6. A lot of people complained about it. Apple said it was normal behavior, quote unquote. And since the displays used in the iPad Mini 6, the iPad Air, and the Apple Watch are the same, are similar, I guess, in technology, you're going to get that. Have you seen that, Chris, on your watch?
No, not at all.
I have it.
You have?
Yes. If you go to the list of your apps, right? Not in the circled icon view, but the grid view, right? List. And you scroll with the crown real fast, you will see a ghosting, almost a doubling of the names. If you go back and forth real quick, up and down, up and down, up and down, I can see them twice. And I'm assuming that's what it is.
I know I'm doing it right now, but I got to move it pretty fast to see that.
Well, that's what they mean. It's not keeping up with your scrolling. That is the jelly thing. I do believe that's what it is.
Okay. Well, I usually don't scroll that fast.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Come on. When is this really going to affect you? And I think that's why Apple is saying it's normal behavior.
It's a parallax optical illusion.
Yeah. So
it's you and not the watch.
Yeah, exactly. And somebody, what did somebody say in the comments? They said, no jelly on my Ultra. It just jams. Yeah. So... yeah. So in case you're wondering what that is, that's what it is. No fix coming. So
Yep.
Is what it is. But again, yeah, unless you're really scrolling fast, you're not gonna notice that.
Yeah, that's I really had to like zoom it up there.
What's weird is that now that I've looked at it, I can't unsee it. Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't notice it before.
I still use Siri 90% of the time to open apps.
Right.
So I rarely scroll and select. So. Right.
Wow. Yeah.
One of the things that a lot of people are worried about getting the Apple Watch Ultra, they're like, no, it's too big, it's too heavy. Well, someone took their Apple Watch Ultra and realized it didn't really feel that heavy to them. So they compared it to their Apple Watch Series 6. Again, a 44 millimeter one with the original sport band. And they have a gram weight scale. And it turns out the Apple Watch Ultra with the Alpine band is only 5 grams heavier.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy? And the other thing is, I have my original Apple Watch, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's about as thick as this Ultra.
Mm, wow.
Yes.
Mm.
I think all the way up to the Series 3, they're almost as thick. So it's really not that much bigger. I guess what makes it look bigger is the kind of the sharper edge and the little bump out with the crown, the guard. Makes it look bigger.
It's kind of weird though, because I checked the weights and the weights of a 6 is 47.1 grams. Now I guess that's just a watch, not with a band. 47.1,
mm-hmm.
And it's 61.3 the Ultra. I mean that's 14 grams. That's a third more weight.
Really?
Is it a third? No. Let me do my quick math here. Maybe not a third. Maybe about 26-27%. Yeah. I mean. I just went on the Apple's website and looked to compare, right? And there it was. So it's dramatically different. So I was questioning the calibration of his scale.
Oh, okay. Now he says
it's noticeably different. I mean, it really is.
What did yours come in at? What did you say it was?
Well, I just went on and put in, you know, Apple Watch Series 6 weight, and it comes in at 47.1 grams.
Mm. 47. That's without the band, right?
That's without the band.
Without the band, yeah.
I think he did it with the band.
Yes,
the band actually played into the, you know, equation.
The band must play a big enough difference. I mean,
yeah,
you know, but not that much difference.
Well, so you're saying that according to this, then the Alpine band would weigh a lot less than the Sport Loop.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Sport Loop is
about 10 grand, about 10.
No, not the Sport Loop. Sorry. Just the Sport band. Right. Yeah.
Right.
I would guess 10 grams. I would guess.
Wow.
No, not 10. Okay. Yeah. I'd guess 10 grams.
Yeah. He should have
10 grams less.
He should have done it without the bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With and without. Yeah.
Yeah. With and without. That'd be more of a real test.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, the stainless steel, the first Apple Watch, just holding them in my hand, about the same. Wait.
Yeah.
Feels about the same.
Well, when I unboxed it, I was like, holy moly, this is big. And then an hour later, I didn't even notice.
Right. Right. Okay.
The weight, I should say. I noticed the watch itself, but the weight didn't affect me much at all.
Right.
You have a titanium watch somewhere, right? What's the weight on that one?
I do. I have a 4 or 5 version is titanium.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big benefits of the titanium watch was just as durable, but not as heavy as a stainless steel, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What else we got here? Moving on. This comes from Mark Gurman. From his weekly newsletter. We'll get off the watch here for just a moment. Because we didn't mention this before, but apparently the EU, European Union, has a new law requiring devices to all be USB-C by I think end of next year. Mm. New devices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Apple is a bit behind on certain devices, namely their biggest selling device, which is the iPhone. They've switched to USB-C on their laptops and the iPad Pro, but Lightning still remains in many of their products, which is a little frustrating, right? Because if you have a lot of Apple products, you probably have 3 different ways of charging them now that you have to keep track of, right?
Oh, and so many cords.
Yes.
So many cords.
Lightning, USB-C, the MagSafe.
USB to Lightning, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, one to the other. Is this a fast charging cable or not, you know?
Right.
But again, as he mentions here, it's a first world problem there, you know, little tiny violin for you. But because most of the world can't even afford one of these items. But for 5 years, the EU has been pushing to do this to make, you know, fewer chargers ending up in the landfills. Well, they took another step and they now require phones, tablets, cameras, headphones, headsets, e-readers, keyboards, mice, mobile navigation systems, portable game consoles, and speakers, all of those to switch to USB-C by the end of 2024 for new products.
Well, that's not very far away.
No. And they're going to extend that to laptops beginning 2026. Mm-hmm. So Apple pushed back on this, saying that the shift to this is a strict regulation mandating just one type of connector, which stifles innovation rather than encouraging it, which in turn will harm consumers in Europe and around the world. Do you agree with that?
No.
Yeah, I don't either. But
really?
Well, not really. Not in this
stifling
case.
Stifling innovation.
Not in this.
Charge it? Nah.
Yeah. Not in this case. However, I do understand their point, and it's not about stifling innovation as much as it is the fact that it is force. How did they put it here in the article? It was pretty interesting. That if you allowed this to happen, then if you don't like the way a certain product works, you can make a law to change it. Right.
Mm.
That I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. That is really what would be happening here. The reason I think that's just a bit of BS from Apple is they're already switching to USB-C and they were before this.
Mm-hmm.
All this is doing is forcing them to do it by a certain date, which is fine.
Huh.
However,
so what happens when you have like USB-D?
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And then, you know, is it you have, I guess, from the innovation perspective, you have government regulation creating a standard.
Yes.
And that's basically setting the pace by which you can release these things. Like if you have USB-D ready, like whatever that might be, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like by 2024, everybody has to be on USB-C. Like, well, I want to put D on there. I can't.
Well, you could if it was USB-C compatible as well.
Yeah, I know. That's that you could have it on the cord.
Yes.
So I don't know. Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's a...
Well, okay, here's why I think it's all a bunch of BS here. It won't matter within a certain number of years. Is everything's going wireless. It won't matter. There will be nothing to plug in.
Yeah.
Unless you make the chargers have to be USB-C, right? Mm-hmm. The MagSafe chargers, you know, everything is going the way the Apple Watch is, which is just no cord or nothing. You just set it down and it charges. Mm. No port on the device itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought though it's less efficient.
Just stifling.
Yeah.
What was that?
You still lose a lot of heat. You know, energy through heat because of wireless charging. But I see what your point. I mean, will it still have a port? It still has to in terms of speed. Yeah.
I don't think they will. I think Apple wants to get rid of all ports on their devices.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Right now, I mean, with induction charging, you don't have the ability to transfer data. You still need a port to be able to like wake that thing up. I mean, I had my phone just died the other day, and I plug it back into a laptop to get it back up and running.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Well, that's because it's some magical key button things that I had to do. But
But like the watch, okay, if my watch completely dies.
Mm-hmm.
There's no port on it. I just set it on the charger and it wakes up eventually, right?
Yeah, but then if you needed to like transfer data or get something to kick it back into gear.
I guess it would depend on the amount of data you're talking about.
Right? Yeah.
And how much. And then you're talking, what, mm-hmm. like a laptop type thing or a...
Mm-hmm. You have to plug it into a laptop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Apple would like everything to be like the watch. At some point, right?
Mm,
no port whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I think too.
It has its own issues, right? I mean, Apple couldn't even come up with a charger to charge all their devices, the AirPower, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's what they did with the IMEI chips, the SIM chips. So that went away.
There's another port gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I did read something else. I didn't put it in the thing. Apple has changed the language of what it calls, it used to refer to it, devices as notebook computers.
Right.
They've changed all of that language now to laptop. In their marketing,
you put it back on your lap again.
Yes.
It's not as hot.
It's safe. It's safe to do that again. Wait, does that mean I can't take notes with this anymore? It's no longer a notebook. I don't know. Anyway, side note. Anyway, this is interesting. We'll follow this. We'll see what happens. But it seems to me everything's going to go the way of the watch, which is charging it without a port.
Oh, here's a rumor. Maybe they're going to get rid of the iPad nomenclature. No longer an iPad, it's going to become a notebook.
Oh, I like that thought.
I don't know. Yeah. I think iPad is kind of that's their differentiator in the marketplace, right? Is that brand
the eye has got to go away one of these days.
Yeah, the eye is going away eventually. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, in this article, I thought this was kind of interesting. Did you know that the iPod connector, right? You're talking about the 30 pin connector. You know how long that was around? 11 years. And that Lightning will have lasted about the same amount of time on the phone by the time they change it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's about time, right? They stuck with it for 11 years and now it's time to transition, and eventually they'll transition everything to inductive charging. I just think that's going to happen. Now, what I thought was also interesting in reading this was some of the devices. We're talking about the peripherals, right? Your AirPods, so your case, your Magic Mouse, your Magic Keyboard, and Magic Trackpad will also have to be changed. Does that mean we're finally going to get a Magic Mouse that doesn't plug in on the bottom?
No, that one needs to go induction.
Exactly. And they need to start selling the pads that charge them.
Right.
That could be the time for Apple. Maybe that's why they haven't done it yet. They're waiting to make this big change to everything else and do it all at once. That's their opportunity to fix that really bad flaw of having to plug it in from the bottom.
You can make a mouse charger called the mouse trap.
There you go. okay. And then let's see what else here. Okay, I think this is our final story. Apple Watch, and by the way, it's funny how one place online mentions a story and it gets picked up by everybody, right?
Yeah.
And without anybody really even checking anything, they just all repeat it, right? Apple Watch overheats.
Oh, you're talking the internet?
No, we're talking media outlets. We're talking, news organizations is what I'm talking about.
Right,
Apple Watch overheats on customer's wrist before blowing up and prompting ER visit. This is such a misleading headline. But this story, which broke in 9 to 5 Mac, everybody picked up on. So apparently what happened was this guy has a Series 7, Apple Watch Series 7. It overheated, started smoking, and eventually exploded. He brought it to Apple's attention, and they were going to investigate what actually happened. Now, this guy then calls 9 to 5 Mac and gives them like an exclusive here. He explained he was wearing it when he noticed that it was getting much hotter than usual. He then found the back of the Apple Watch had cracked, and Watch OS was showing a warning about needing to shut down due to temperature. For further context, he was in a house when it was 70 degrees, so he wasn't like in the middle of a desert or something. After this, he said he immediately called Apple support, explained the situation. The call was escalated all the way up their support hierarchy, ultimately landing in the hands of a manager who created a case for further investigation. There was no solution or advice provided after this call. Just instructions not to touch the watch until he heard back from Apple. The following morning, however, the situation escalated even further. The user woke up to find the Apple Watch even hotter to the touch, and the heat had shattered the display. When he picked up the Apple Watch to take pictures to send to Apple, it started immediately making crackling noises. It then exploded just as he was throwing it out the window. The watch left burn marks on the user's couch. Also ended up visiting the emergency room because of lead poisoning concerns. Although there is no real enough lead in the Apple Watch to cause poisoning, he was simply concerned about it. He then reached out to Apple again for an update on the situation, was told the case would be a top priority, and he would receive an update the following Monday. What do you guys think of this whole thing?
Well, it's a little bit hyperbole on the headline, you said.
I think the whole thing is BS.
Me too. Look, I don't know if there's any journalism people out there listen to us, and I'm speaking from ignorance. But all I know is it seems like when you go to journalism 101 class, the first thing is they teach you how to write a headline to get a click.
Yes.
All right. So this is a headline to get a click. I read this. I'm like, what? You know, I was like, nah.
Well, in the comments below, people all kind of in agreement that there's something else going on here because it doesn't add up. First of all, if it was hot enough to crack the back of the crystal, he would have burned his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So they're thinking there was probably previous damage to the back of the watch that would then, cause all kinds of issues with it, right? Secondly, they told him not to touch it. What did he do?
Touched it.
He picked it up. Did he continue to charge it overnight?
No. That's a good question. Did he charge it?
Right.
That's nuts.
And everybody's complaining, well, why is Apple making him, you know, not speak to the media or do whatever? It's because they want to do an investigation, right? As someone pointed out, did this guy just take his watch out of the oven and then film it and call Apple?
Exactly. Right. And, I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah. All of it is just so suspicious. Normally when this happens, the screen pops off.
Yep.
When the battery overheats. In this case, the back was cracked. That tells me there was prior damage to it somehow. I don't know. I don't know if this guy's just looking for money or what. And this trip to the ER, are you kidding me? It's not because he was burned or hurt in any way. He was concerned about lead. Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. You threw it out the window, dude. Come on. Yeah, this just, there's something wrong here.
We've actually done that before. we were messing with the, you know, when the MacBooks actually had a battery you could remove. And this one had expanded.
Uh-huh.
We accidentally punctured it. Next thing you know, we're throwing it out the window.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you puncture it, you got a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes me think the back of that watch was damaged and internally punctured that battery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It had to. Oh, I mean, you speak about laptops. I was cleaning out some stuff and I had these old laptops, my old 17-inch MacBook Pro. And with a big battery in the back, right?
Yeah.
And I hadn't looked at it in a while. It had expanded. The battery was had popped open. It was toast, but it didn't catch fire or do anything like that. But they do go bad over time. Mm-hmm. Anyway, go ahead.
I say for me, the weird thing for me was the throwing it out the window.
Yeah.
My windows are never open. I mean, it would take me 30 seconds to throw it out the window. So unless it was in the springtime or the fall and his windows were open and there's no screen that he had to get through or window he had to unlock, I was like, no. And I thought, was he in a car? Just tossed it out the window. You know, I was like, it just didn't add up to me.
Right. And the fact that he, while it's smoking and heating and cracking, it's sitting on it looks like a doily on his couch.
Yes.
Like, let's put it on the most flammable thing we have in the house.
Yeah. Yeah,
and come on, this is
like CSI Apple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Trying to figure out what was going on.
But to your point, Tom, no one's going to investigate this. They're going to just send it out so more people can read about it, so you can get excitement around it. You know, that's what it's all about. The facts, and who knows?
Well, that's what gets me because all the headlines I see are Apple Watch overheats, sending. Person to the ER.
Yeah, everyone wanted to see it, a mangled wrist. Everyone wanted to see one.
Right.
That's why you clicked. Yeah.
This incident did not send him to the ER. He sent himself to the ER. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. Mm. We'll see what happens. I mean, you know, Vincent, you've had one of your watches expand and the screen pop off, right?
A couple.
Yes. Okay.
The original couple. And the three. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's going on in your household, Vincent?
I don't know. It happens to my son more than anybody else. I don't know if he's overcharging it.
Could be.
But you know, the weird thing is the Series 3 that had expanded, we popped the screen back on and, you know, I was just checking it out the other day and it had kind of gone back to normal. And the screen stayed on. We charged it and it came back to life.
Wow.
So I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm keeping an eye on it.
That's a good story.
I'll
let you know.
I would not charge that overnight.
The headline for that would be Apple Watch put back together and attacks child.
Yes. Okay. One more story here. One more quick story. Again, with the Apple Watch Ultra, the ultimate GPS test. Okay. This guy mowed his lawn and he used the precision dual frequency GPS on the Apple Watch Ultra. He also mowed the lawn with, what version was it? Forget which series he had. Series 6, 8.
I think. 8.
Six okay. or, yeah. No, maybe it was a 6.
Yeah, I thought it was a 6, but I read the story a couple days ago, so I forget.
Yeah, I think it was a 6. And then he shows the map and how more precise the Ultra is versus Series 4. It's all the way back to the 4.
Mm-hmm. 4. Oh my gosh, what it, you know.
Yeah.
2018.
Yeah, well, but think about it. The GPS has not changed.
Yeah,
until true. The Ultra. Mm-hmm. But he said that it would have me zip a couple of doors down, and shows about a 1.4 extra miles of distance compared to to the Ultra. And I'll put a link in the show notes so you can see this image. But the Ultra showed every single path that he mowed, which fantastic.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. The only thing missing here is Siri saying, hey, you missed a spot.
That's right. That's right.
I'm going to have to try this, guys. I'm going to have to mow my lawn. I had no idea that I could actually get an image like this.
That's pretty funny.
I'm going to try it. I think Apple should do a commercial from this. It should be like slow motion, dramatic close-up footage of mowing and edging the lawn, impacting the edger, sweat soaking off the watch, you know, or from a sprinkler or something, the GPS tracking graphic, music from your AirPods, and then the end it with the Apple Watch Ultra, making chores into adventures. And then you end it with this guy falling into a pool to cool off, and the depth gauge on his Apple Watch shows 4 feet. Right
there, you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
That was an Apple Watch commercial for you, Apple, free to use.
You have to also have the neighbor send you a request to mow his lawn.
Yes.
I live in a cul-de-sac, and you could literally do 4 lawns at once. Just go, you know, right around, and right around the circle.
Make a circle, yeah. Nice. I'm going to test this out. I'm going to try it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'll report back next episode. So, all right. We will get to what we like here in just a minute. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as $1 a month, you can help us to keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right. So what we like this week, Vincent, why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, mine's a pretty simple one here. And I'm surprised that I haven't discovered this sooner. I came across it flipping through the news from 9 to 5 Mac in my newsfeed. It's called Now Playing Plus. And just like everybody else, everyone has a plus at the end of it. It's made by the Icon Factory, and it's super simple utility app. I mean, when you're listening to music or you're on your, listen to podcasts or something like that, typically you'd have to kind of click the side button or get back to the now playing to pause and play or fast forward or whatever. But if you've somehow, moved on and you've clicked the side button and your now playing is gone, it's typically difficult to have to go back into it and figure out whether or not you were on music or on podcasts. This allows you to create a complication that you can put to the face of your watch. And I'm just honestly surprised that now playing doesn't actually have a native complication. So this puts it on there. You can tap on the complication, and it takes you to kind of like a slimmed down version of the now playing functionality. But it gives you the fast forward, the pause, and the rewind or go back button. If you're on a podcast, it happens to be playing, it'll go to the jump back 15 or 30 seconds, and as well as the pause. It also works on video, just so the same functionality that you would get with now playing, but now in a quick complication. You can use it in one of the circle dial kind of complications, or you can use it in the corner complications. But you can't use it in the longer flat versions. This thing's been around for like 4 years, I think.
Really?
According to the Apple Store, it says that it's been around, but I've never heard of it.
Yeah, same here.
Now that I use it, when you get it started, it does take you to an instruction screen, which is kind of weird. You're like, okay, click on it, and then you have to click another button, which takes you to the actual controls. And then just kind of get out of it and leave it running in the background. So whenever you're starting, a podcast or whatever it is, you can now tap on the complication to get back to it and control your music. Hmm. It's super simple. Nice. It's free. It doesn't extract any data or anything like that. So, great to use and a little nifty feature. And I also have to do one other thing, Tom. It is October. It is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. So I just want to put a PSA out there. Yeah. Okay. So,
no kidding.
Just on your phone, navigate to General and Settings and to Passwords. Under Passwords, once you have it unlocked, is Security Recommendations at the top there. Click into those things, and you can see if there's any passwords you have stored on your phone or on iCloud that might have been a part of a compromise. So go ahead and do that. As a favor to me, just make sure all your passwords are.
What was the path again? I'm sorry.
General settings.
Yeah. Oh, general. Okay.
Yeah, I'll go to general go to settings and passwords. Yeah, is it under general? No. Sorry. My bad. It's just under passwords. You just go to just settings and then under passwords.
Oh, there it is. Okay, passwords. Yep. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Security recommendations. Is that what it is?
There you go.
I have a red exclamation point here.
You must just take a look at those. And
oh my goodness!
Passwords.
Oh my goodness! This list just goes on and on.
Yes, there are other high recommendations, and then there's immediate things you should take if the password's been found.
This is insane. It's like, wow! I've got like 30 of them here.
Well, Tom, you're going to take a little bit of time this weekend.
You need to do some work. So you're saying it's under general passwords?
No, not under general. Just under your settings, under passwords.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, all kinds of companies. Some I don't even recognize what they are.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Good time to get rid of them. Clean them up.
Yeah, clean them up. Okay. Thought I was doing good. Mm. Apparently not. Good tip.
Yeah, there you go.
Very good tip.
That's a really good tip.
Yep. All right, Chris.
Oh, gosh.
Do you have a bunch of them, too?
Yeah. Give me a second, Tom, before I do what I like this week. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
What am I next?
What I like this week is that tip. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
I'm going to talk about a couple bands, one quicker than the other. The first is just the Nike Sport Loop band with the Nike faces being opened up to the watch. I really kind of dug into those, and I have a couple that I used quite a bit. So I really like that band. I know one of the versions you had, Tom, was a direct Nike watch. Was it the 4 or the 5 you had that you bought that was Nike?
Right.
These faces are kind of nice, but the band is great. The weirdest thing, though, is it says just do it on the band when you kind of loop it through. but my wrist is too big, so mine just says "Ust do it."
Is that must do it or
no? Just UST do it.
Okay.
And I can't even pull tight enough to get to start the M to come through, or the J, I should say. But I like it a lot. I'm wearing it right now, and I'm going to go to the gym as soon as we're done here. And it's, I like kind of Nikeing up my watch. It's good. The second band is the Ocean Band. Mm-hmm. And before I start getting into details, the first thing that kind of popped up is like, you can buy an extension to the Ocean Band, so it'll go around your wetsuit. I'm like, oh, what is it? It's a little extension, maybe an inch long, 2 inches long. So the Ocean Band has 11 little slots for the buckle to go through. The extension has 32 different spots for the extension. So it's like 3X distance. Wow. So it'll wrap around your wrist like four times. But and it's $49. So you can actually buy an extension.
Mm, did not know that. So, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're wearing, you know, a wetsuit or something that you're going to go diving or need something clunky, that band will definitely go around your wrist.
No, I was going to say, I thought you just had to get the really large size and hope that fits. Okay.
This extension is quite extensive. But the you know, I had the Alpine Loop, and I think you're going to talk about that sometime in the future. Today, maybe.
Yeah, in a few minutes. Okay.
Yeah, in a few minutes. So the Ocean Band, it's rugged, and with the Ultra Watch and the Ocean Band, you have some serious hardware on your wrist. Now, the way it's described is tubular geometry. So that's what it is. Is, you know, tubes kind of put together. And then there's a buckle that kind of a corrosion resistant titanium buckle that's connected to the short part of the band. Then you have to manually put on the second one. Okay. So when you loop it through, you kind of customize where you want the loop to kind of go in. So it's flat, but it's thick, it's robust. And I kind of like it. I like the robustness of it and the feeling of it on your wrist. And I had the midnight version. I went and bought the white version when I saw yours, Tom. I immediately like popped it in there and went to the, when I was over by the mall, I went and picked it up. I like the white one, but the midnight one just really looks nice on your wrist, you know, with a nice watch face. I'm not too hip on the yellow. I'm not a big yellow guy because it's, you know, it's bright and, you know, when you're walking around with yellow and you put something on, it kind of conflicts. So I don't think I'll get the yellow, but it's a really nice band. So I highly recommend it. And you know, the listener can hear about your review of the Alpine. And I think I told you guys in text message, Alpine has kind of grown on me. I didn't like it at first because the clasp and you can't, the Alpine one, you really couldn't, you know, in the dark when we wake up in the morning, don't have the Alpine band on. You need the light for it. You know, you can't really fumble in the darkness to put that band on. But the Ocean one is great. Yeah. So it's high performance. It's thick. It's got the tubular look. It looks great on the watch, and it really is kind of robust. So I really like the Ocean Band. So that's kind of what I like this week.
Now, the Ocean Band, in my opinion, is one of the heavier bands.
It is.
It is. There's a lot of flubber going on there to make up that band, to make those, even though it's full of holes, it has some substantial weight to it. Which I thought was pretty interesting. And one other quick note, if you open up, if you buy an Ocean Band, do not throw away the instructions thinking you can just put it on. You have to look at the instructions and know how to put that extra little loop thing on.
You do. You do. It's and I missed the loop. I'm like, this is terrible. You can't even loop it around. I'm like, oh, there's another piece in the.
Exactly. So just a quick tip. I have to say, I do love these new styles of bands that they just came out with. So as you mentioned, there's three new styles, the Ocean, the Alpine, and the Trail Loop. Each one comes in three different colors. And Vincent, as you mentioned on the show last show, 2 weeks ago, it's amazing how quickly the knockoff third-party bands on Amazon and elsewhere have popped up with these new styles.
Really?
We're talking exact copies, color and all.
Yeah,
design.
Totally get one.
Yeah, it's design patents be damned. They made them anyway, and they made them so fast. So, I currently have because it is one of my more favorite. All three of the Alpine colors. I have the orange that my Ultra Watch came with, and then I got the Starlight white one, and then the green one. and I absolutely love this band. It has the look sort of like the leather link and the later redesigned leather loop bands, but with fabric. And in this case, it's, according to Apple, it's a polyester. It's two textile layers woven together into one continuous piece without stitching. High-strength yarns reinforce the top loops, and the corrosion-resistant titanium G-hook slides into the loops for secure fit. So I guess the, and that's according to Apple's quote right off their website there, I guess the G-hook is what I really like about this. It's such a cool design. And they come in three sizes. You can get them in a small, medium, and large, according to the millimeter wrist sizing, right? So you do kind of have to know which one to get. But it's not as detailed as a solo loop, so you have to have the exact millimeter. You just got to know if it's small, medium, or large to fit your wrist. They're $99. And the other thing I love about them is that the titanium lugs and the hook match the Ultra Watch perfectly. So it looks like it was made, and it was made specifically for the watch. But I think next to the Sport Loop, this is my next favorite band style.
Nice.
Now, Chris, I know you have one. You mentioned that. How do you wear it? And by that, I mean, do the loops, you know, the little bumpy parts face you or away from you when you wear it?
They are on the outside of the wrist, and I loop the hook. So I'm looking at the hook when I hook it. So toward me.
So the little bumps are on the outside of your wrist.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's not how Apple shows it in their photos. Cause I looked at, now this is if you're wearing it, I think on the left or on your left hand, right? I assume. I wear it the other way. I never get it right, by the way. I've worn these bands the wrong way forever. And I look at Apple's marketing photos. I'm like, oh, I'm wearing it wrong. I like the loops facing out, which is what you did, Chris. I think the other side is just, it's all fabric. It's just, you know, smooth. I don't think it looks as good. So is that something you want to look at yourself more often or have other people around you look at more? I don't know. I don't know which way is right. I don't think
it was just easier to clasp it, right? It was easier to clasp it. That's why I think I did it that way, because the loop is right there and you clasp right in the loop. If it's underneath the other way, you got to kind of go underneath the band to loop it.
Yeah.
To clasp it.
I don't know. I've worn it both ways and I'm confused now. So I don't know which way to wear it.
They're both right. You can't go wrong.
I guess so. Anyway, they're all great quality Apple bands, and I'm always amazed at the new and innovative design they come up with for something as simple as attaching a band to your wrist. It's just incredible. Now the trail loops, still can't get them. Not till November, I think.
You'll have yours about a week before me, I think, based on our text messages.
I didn't order one.
Oh, I thought you did.
Oh, wait, I did. I'm sorry. I have one coming. The others I keep looking at and it's still mid November, about the same timing. However, if you order right now an Apple Watch Ultra with one of those trail loops, you can get it in about a week here, at least in this area, which I thought was weird. Maybe they just happen to have them in stock. But
yeah, it sounds that way.
But that makes it for a very expensive band. I'm not going to do that. I may end up getting one of these knockoffs first because they're half the price or less.
Yeah, for like $16. I don't know whether or not the actual hook is titanium.
It can't be. There's no way. I don't think it's even a special woven fabric. It's
molded plastic.
Yeah, it's probably just some canvas material that they did it with. As soon as you scrape that against a rock or something, it'll completely fray and tear apart, you know.
Yeah. But what's crazy is, are they using just straight up Apple's photos? I mean, it's kind of weird.
Oh, I know. It looks exactly like it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. All right. Anything else before we have to keep stopping ourselves from accidentally setting off the siren when we hold in the crown in our new watch? I can't tell you that again, Chris, like you said, Apple, I'm not used to having a button on that side of the watch anyway. right? Usually there's nothing, but when I push the crown with my index finger, I hold the other side of the watch with my thumb, and I'm constantly freaking out that I'm going to set off the siren. Man, it's just the design, you know? Move it a little lower, higher, something. Anyway. All right. Well, I think we've gone on long enough. That is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.